Como madre orgullosa, siempre quiero lo mejor para mi familia. Y los únicos huevos que compro son Eggland's Best. ¿Casualidad? ¡Para nada! No importa cómo los cocines, siempre están frescos y deliciosos. Además, tienen más vitaminas D y E y un 25% menos de grasas saturadas que los huevos comunes. ¿Por qué conformarse con menos cuando puedes tener lo mejor? Eggland's Best. Mejor sabor, mejor nutrición, mejores huevos. Visita egglandsbest.com para obtener más información.
It's time to get organized this new year with Menards. Update your closet system and add style today with Closet Culture. Choose from two closet finishes and four colors of shelf boards to create a functional yet stylish closet solution that matches your home decor. Check out all our Closet Culture closet kits or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com to see all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Mulletcast, the podcast where business and pleasure collide. My name is Evan Balmer. Follow me on Instagram at Evan Balmer. Today, we're joined by John Burnick and Tim Nolan, both with the Cigar Box Stompers. And John's also the owner of Lazy Bee Guitars or Lazy Bee Cigar Box Guitars.
Yep.
Follow both of them online. You can follow them on Instagram at Cigar Box Stompers, LazyBeeCigarGuitars.com, and Cigar Box Stompers.com. What's going on, fellas?
Hey, Evan. Thanks for having us.
No problem.
Appreciate it. Morning.
You got it, John. I was walking through the Asbury Fresh Markets.
Yes.
I saw you playing a Cigar Box guitar. I was like, I got to talk to this dude.
I'm glad you did.
Yeah.
I'm glad you did. Yeah.
So it's cool to find out more about you. So can you tell people about what a Cigar Box guitar is and how they originated?
So basically, a Cigar Box guitar is any guitar that's made from any kind of box, really. Cigar boxes really are, they're really the best to make a guitar out of, mm-hmm. because of materials. Most cigar boxes are made out of mahogany, which, believe it or not, is really a prime wood for guitar making.
Right.
So so basically, even though folks have been making guitars out of cigar boxes really since Civil War, it really became a thing, really became popular during the Great Depression, during right. the 30s. And, you know, folks couldn't afford, you know, a traditional guitar from the store.
Right.
You know, there wasn't a, you know, guitar center, you know, up the road.
Right.
And folks couldn't afford it. So what they would do is they would make a guitar out of whatever was laying around.
Mm-hmm.
So if there was a cigar box laying around, they would grab that, gas cans, oil cans, anything that's really hollow that'll resonate.
Right.
Works really well. So so really they really became popular during the Depression. And basically what happened was, you know, folks would make the guitar with whatever was laying around. A lot of times the strings were made out of screen wire.
Wow.
And so if they had one string, they made a one string guitar.
Right.
If they had two strings, they'd make a two string guitar. So hence the most widely used cigar box guitar has three strings.
Right.
And really what happened was it really came out of necessity. You know, they didn't have a whole lot of strings, so they would put three strings on a guitar, and really blues music was born.
Right.
So a lot of blues artists started out on a cigar box guitar, and because there's only three strings, it has that really raw sound.
Right.
The more strings, the fuller the chord, the fuller the sound.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why three strings, four strings, it's really optimal for like blues rock, blues or rock
right.
music.
So obviously, like at the time of Civil War, it's pre-amplifiers, right? So
right.
you're talking like acoustic guitars, basically.
Sure,
and is
sure.
that same like through the Depression? Like when did they become electrified?
Yeah, so really the first wave of cigar box guitars was really Civil War. And then, of course, the Depression was really, you know, the second wave.
Mm.
But then I think speed up to modern times,
right.
I would say the past 20, 25 years, there's been a resurgence among artists and musicians because of the beauty of the sound, the simplicity. There are lots of fun to build, which kind of my story comes in when I was a kid. You know, my parents were a little bit older than you know, my friend's parents. And I remember my dad telling me that folks would make guitars out of cigar boxes during the Depression. And that's when I first heard about it. But then it wasn't until maybe 10, 15 years ago, I started seeing them, other builders selling them on eBay. So I bought one and loved it. And I looked at it and I said, you know what, man? I could build these myself. So we've built over 600. We've bought, we've sold and used, and I got a bunch hanging in my garage. You know, I have some like this one that that I gig with, you know, with the band. With Timmy and Don Haney and George.
So that one, that one looks like a custom. So you got a license plate, you got a bottle opener.
So that's for Soda Pop.
Okay, cool.
But, so this is what I call my number one. This is one of the first ones I made, and I gig with this one, and it's got some emotional value to it because I call my guitars Lazy B. And my parents had a ranch out in Arizona. I was born in Phoenix, Arizona. And they had a ranch, and it was called Lazy B. And this license plate actually has been laying out, laying up in the attic. This was the license plate that was on a pickup truck from the Lazy B Ranch.
That's cool.
So it's another thing that you can do with these. It actually adds a little bit, you know, to the sound. And, you know, it's not laying up in the attic. I can enjoy it. I can see it. And it definitely has some emotional value to it. So anyway, that's the story behind this one. And just to get back to your other question about amplification, that kind of in the past 20, 25 years, with this newest wave of cigar box builders. There's a fellow out in Pennsylvania, Shane Spiel. He's been at the forefront, and you know, fellows like that have taken the basic plan of a cigar box guitar and have added some modern features like amplification. On this one, because I gig with it, I have a more modern bridge on it. You know, I have modern tuners on it. But the, you know, the design is basically the same. But and each builder kind of adds their own flair to it.
Oh, they're easy to customize. It's everybody has a little piece. Like John has his license plate there. You have these other people with things from 5 foot tall mermaids on a bass guitar to some chainsaw cases and shovels and
stuff. So actually, and I saw Dispatch was playing in Asbury this weekend, and he busted out like he had a, it looked like a suitcase guitar. It was crazy. I mean, it was the same idea, but it was like
cool.
Kind of travel suitcase. It was crazy.
It's
that counts as a cigar box guitar.
It's
it falls into the genre.
The possibilities are you know, unlimited.
So when these sort of originated, it's like what people would think of as the classic, like jug band. Like you had like a wash tub, like the washboard, jugs, all that kind of stuff. And homemade guitar.
I mean, it's actually a lot of
the washboard.
So definitely. I mean, that that whole genre, that whole idea of, you know, homemade instruments, you know, is that's really where it comes from. You know, definitely. You mentioned the washtub bass, and you know, I believe probably around the same time, around the Civil War era, They were also making violins.
Wow.
You know, out of, so that, that, right. you know, it's another area.
That's pretty
so,
cool.
Yeah.
I've seen a few of those.
They're yeah.
Pretty interesting.
Really? Though. That's intense. Yeah. yeah. So yeah. when you were growing up, you didn't start out playing cigar box guitars. You were playing regular guitar.
Yeah.
And what kind of music were you into?
So I guess when I was about 8, you know, my parents bought me a guitar and probably like a lot of folks out there, I would play probably like for 6-7 months and then drop, you know, take lessons and then drop it,
mm-hmm.
pick it up, you know, a year later and then drop it. So I would only get to a certain level, you know, and then lose interest.
Right.
The cigar box guitar was really a springboard for me in a lot of different ways, certainly building. But then after I started building them, I'm like, you know what? I should probably play them. So, so that really springboarded, you know, me playing. And I find that they're a lot easier to play.
Right.
And then I had never really started songwriting before, before I started playing.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Garbox guitar. Then, you know, I'd be sitting at show. I would start doing some markets and vending shows. And, you know, you're sitting there just kind of noodling around. And then you're like, wait a minute, that's a song.
Right.
So, you know, just kind of fooling around on the guitar. I kind of come up with some riffs and some melodies and stuff. And, you know, all my songs really, almost all of them right. have started on the cigar box guitar. So that started a whole new world for me.
Yeah. yeah. I mean, when you just played that, that to me, like that sound just encapsulates like, you know, Southern blues,
yeah.
You know? So, yeah. I mean, even when people started playing guitar, is it because they learned on cigar box types of guitars that where the sound came from, or were they trying to emulate the people that came before them?
I think nowadays, you know, in modern times, I think they're trying to emulate, you know, that sound
right.
and get that sound.
Yeah.
I mean, you know how, you know, the story of Eddie Van Halen, when he started putting the guitars together, he was, you know, searching for that brown sound, that right. Certain sound. So I think it's the same way. And, you know, I think that's why I have so many, you know, each one has a unique, that's the other thing that depending on what you're, you know, building it right. out of and what materials it's made out of and what the size and shape
right.
and all that stuff really, you know, shapes the sound.
Right.
Yeah. So I think, and me, you know, growing up, you know, I always liked blues rock, Southern rock. And, you know, a lot of those guys, you know, like take George Thorogood, for instance, you know, I was, loved his songs, and then I found out, wait a minute, he wasn't the original artist for a lot of those.
Right.
A lot of those were blues.
Right.
You know, so I kind of came in the back door. Gotcha. I was like second generation. Then I started listening to like Howlin' Wolf and B.B. King and
right.
all those guys. So
that's pretty cool.
So yeah, that was like, you know, I grew up in the late 60s and 70s. And, you know, then you find out, wait a minute, the songs you like, you know, they're just, cover it.
Right.
Just covers, you know.
That's
so
cool.
So yeah.
So that's interesting. Now Tim, you play the harp.
Yes, I do.
Did you ever, John, did you ever think about like you should play the comb or something like that as opposed to like a harp?
I've thought about it.
We're trying to get them to play spoons, maybe.
That would be cool, actually. So you ever feel left out playing harp in like a cigar band?
No, or not at all.
Important
not
part
at all.
Of the...
I've been playing harmonica for 40 some odd years.
And yeah.
I learned the total wrong way to play, so I'm a misfit to start with, and I seem to fit in with the other misfits.
So what was the wrong way to learn?
I'm basically a pucker player. A lot of harmonica players, most harmonica players use their tongue and I don't do that quite so much. I was in the Navy in a remote listening post in northern Japan and had 6 feet of snow on the ground.
Right.
There was a quarter beer machine there, so I'd have a few beers mess around on the harmonica. I was self-taught, so that's how I learned the wrong way. And over the years, I just kept with it and started playing with some people and right. had fun doing that. And I was lucky enough to sit in with some people. I had a one-time opportunity. I played with Dave Brubeck.
Oh, really?
I was working security, and his son came out with the other guys in the band to warm up. I pulled the harmonica out of my pocket, and they said, oh, cool. Played with them for a few minutes, and Dave Jr. walked away, said, stay right there. I'll be right back. Came back with his dad. His dad brought me over to the piano, and what key do you have? And let's jam.
That's cool.
Oh, it was fun. It was fun.
Right.
But I've had lots of things like that where I got to play with people from the Box Tops and all different bands.
Right.
When you can carry around your instrument with you in your pocket, it makes cool. it very convenient. I wasn't always good. I don't have a musical mind. It took me a long time to get at least where I am now, where I'm fairly decent. But right.
We actually noticed that when you came in, like John's got like a couple guitars, an amp, all this stuff, and you have one small little case. That is a nice way to travel.
Oh, yeah, but I got about 30 harmonicas in there.
There you go. That's cool. You guys want to play a tune? We'll get a little sample of the sure. kind of stuff you do.
Sure.
What do you want to play?
Music. Punch it. I'm going to punch it.
That is cool. Whose song is that?
I'm sorry?
Whose song is that?
So that's an original.
Nice.
Yeah, that's an original.
Most of the songs we do are originals written by John. And
yeah.
I think they're pretty good.
That's a good tune.
Well, thank you, Tim.
I like playing the songs. I enjoy the songs. Every now and then I find myself listening to them and they pop into my head now and then. Good golly.
Yeah, so you get a nice driving guitar sound out of that. What what strings do you use?
So they're regular guitar strings. I use a heavier a heavier gauge, mm-hmm. and I met all there's only three, but on this particular setup, they're all wound, mm-hmm. so you get a little bit at metal on metal sound,
right.
So other than that, they're pretty much normal strings.
So what strings do you choose? Like what actual node strings?
So this is tuned to open E, E chord.
Right.
So the first one, this is the low E, regular low E string on a guitar.
Right.
EB. So this is B. So this is the second string. If you're looking down on a normal guitar,
right.
So this would be the A string tuned to a B, and then this is a high E.
Gotcha.
So cool. It works out well.
And what do you use? So building your first guitar, did you start out building like electric versions, or were you building some acoustic ones first?
A great question. So I think. It was, I started building it as an acoustic,
mm-hmm.
and it was probably, when I finished it, it was probably an acoustic for probably an hour.
Oh, yeah.
Then I wanted to stick a pickup on it, so.
And what kind of pickups that?
Yeah, so these are called thin buckers,
uh-huh.
and a friend of mine who has recently passed, made them custom for my guitars.
Oh, wow.
What makes them so special,
right.
is that they're very thin. Mm. So it's basically wound.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
I'm like a normal humbucker.
Right. It kind of looks like it.
Yeah. However, it's only an eighth inch thick.
Right.
And so it allows me to stick it on the guitar without having to drill a hole, route out a hole, right. or dig into the frame of the guitar.
Right.
So, works out well.
That's cool. And then as far as other parts, like some of your guitars, it looks like you use like whatever you can find lying around. You got some bolts and
Yeah, most of it came from Home Depot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to have, so this one used to have a eye bolt like this one.
Wow.
So I use an eye bolt here from Home Depot as a bridge, and then what is called a nut,
right.
I use a bolt.
That's cool.
So this is a carriage bolt. On this particular
and a dog food bolt.
That's true.
That's true. A dog food bolt. No way.
Yeah, so it's a dog dish upside down.
No kidding.
Yeah, for a resonator.
Wow.
So yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So I mean, a lot of this is like experimentation, right? See what you get sounds out of.
Oh yeah, it's all, it's all experimentation.
Right.
Let me try this. Let me try that, and see how it works out.
And then back in the day, I imagine people were just using any piece of wood they can find for the neck. And
yeah.
Where did these necks? How did they evolve? And what do you use?
As you said, during the Depression. It was whatever was laying around. So usually a broomstick.
Yeah.
And there's some stories of how, some of the blues guys would, cut their mom's broomstick off to use, and then get in trouble.
And get beat with it.
Right. And then, poke a hole in. Yeah. I don't know if you all ever saw the movie Emmett Otter.
Yeah.
And the jug band.
Right.
Chris, I think it's Emmett Otter.
Jug band.
Jug band. Yeah, yeah. Something like that. So the whole premise around that was, he needed a washtub bass,
right.
and they used to say at least there's no hole in the washtub, but he had to put a hole in it,
right?
To make the bass
stick to it.
Yeah.
Wow.
So anyway, long story getting longer.
Right.
A lot of times you hear stories about the blues guys starting on like gas can guitars,
right?
And you know,
they burn the place up.
Moms and dads getting mad because, you know, they're unraveling screen to get the wire for a string.
Wow.
You know, they're cutting broomsticks. So a lot of those materials were, you know, broomsticks for necks,
right,
and things like that. This is just a piece of 1x2 poplar with a piece of oak, thin piece of 1/4-inch oak on top,
right,
for the fretboard.
So are you making those yourself, or is there manufacturers of them?
No. Wow. Just kind of put them together.
Wow.
I try to, you know, even though there's some modern conveniences on this, like the tuners and the bridge, I try to keep the basic design raw, right, you know. I use some of the modern parts only because I want to try to keep it in tune, although that doesn't always work out. But yeah, I want to try to keep it in tune as much as possible. But other than that, it's just basically a stick through a box,
right,
you know. So
any particular cigar brands that work better than others?
This is like Patron. There's a couple others. There's a few out there that I just basically look at, you know, it's got to be wood. There's some that are made out of cardboard.
Right.
They don't hold up as well. So what I look at is, as long as it's made out of wood, and I look at the joints, like if you look at here, they're using like almost like dovetail joints here. Right. That means it's built. You know, it's amazing how well it
it's like craftsmanship going into. Yeah.
I mean, it's just to hold cigars. And right. And the other aspect is it, you know, normally these will just get thrown out.
Right.
So there is a repurpose and a reuse part.
Totally.
You know, part to it.
Yeah, I was going to say, you've made over 600 of these. What's your source for cigar boxes?
Well,
you got to keep that quiet.
I got one out in the car from them.
You got people always looking for you?
No, actually, you know, friends and family, they know I do it. So,
that's cool.
So they're always, you know.
It's funny. I think about you a lot. There's a cigar shop in Bradley Beach right next to Finn's, and he's always got a table outside with like a million cigar boxes on it.
But he's selling
them. Selling them, I think.
So, yeah. I'll give a shout out to L&B Cigars on Asbury, on the Asbury Circle.
Uh-huh.
If you smoke cigars, go there.
Right.
They've been very, very good to us.
Right.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. So.
So please smoke some more cigars so we can make more guitars.
Something I want to interject real quick. Just about a month ago, we were at the Pennsylvania Cigar Box Guitar Festival,
right,
which John has been going to since it started 10 years ago. So it was the 10th annual one.
I was
going to
mention this, actually.
And John was very instrumental in helping us set the world's record for the largest cigar box and the largest cigar box guitar ensemble playing a single song.
Right. So you're actually
bad to the bone, speaking of George Thorogood earlier.
Yeah.
Guinness World Book record holder. So did you play in that too, Tim?
Oh yeah, I played guitar. Awesome. I played a cigar box guitar.
All right. So
a beautiful one that John made.
You organized at the festival.
Well, so it's funny. The festival is put together every year by Jim Lewin.
Uh-huh.
Fantastic person and his wife.
Yeah, he owns the York Emporium as a bookstore
in York, PA.
Antiques, curiosities.
Oh, it's a giant bookstore with all kinds of stuff.
Little known fact is I actually went to preschool and kindergarten in York, Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Cool.
Yeah,
exactly. Very cool place.
Out there. Yeah.
It's kind of your hometown, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sort of in a weird way.
So
attended many parties at York College as a young child.
Jim Lewin and his wife really organized it.
Mm.
But once I heard about it, I was like, Jim, you know, let me know how I can help. And so I threw some ideas at him, and one of the ideas I had was to have loaner guitars available there, right, at the festival in case, because one of the things that we found out, we figured, well, you know, if we get like 20, 25 people, it's never been done before.
Right.
So I was thinking, you know, no matter how many people we get, Of course, you want to try to get as many as possible. But I was thinking if we got 30 people, we got the record.
Right.
So we found out when we got there, Guinness had set a limit. We had to get at least 250 people
right.
in playing.
Right.
And to get in the book.
Mm.
So I just, you know, I said, hey, Jim, you know, what if I just build some loaner guitars?
Right.
So I talked to my daughter, Kate. She works for Kickstarter. Mm-hmm. And I said, what do you think? And she actually...
I mean, the Kickstarter page for you.
Yeah. She actually
helped pay for the materials and stuff to build the guitars.
She actually presented it to Kickstarter, and her boss actually featured it. And we did a Kickstarter page.
That's cool.
And we raised some money to build over 30 guitars, loaner guitars.
Right.
So up until the day of the festival, I really didn't know if this idea was going to work.
Right.
And then we found out we needed 250. So I started a sign-in sheet, and we had folks come in, and they were signing them out. And like at the last minute, we were still looking for guitar. I could have made 50.
Well, we got up to we still needed like 20 or 30 right. people. Our set was an hour before we were going to attempt the world's record.
Right.
And so we got up there, and we were trying to encourage people to.
Kept hearing the numbers.
Right. Yeah, we kept hearing the numbers. We were giving out the numbers. We only need 5 more people or whatever.
Yeah.
But we got up to 263.
Right.
And we had to play extend our set so a few more Cigar Box guitars could be built.
No way.
Yeah.
That's good. So it ended up being, you know, a need. Right. I had no idea. I mean, I had like a slight idea, but I had no idea if it was really going to work.
That's so awesome.
So I had 30 Lazy Bee guitars there
right.
as part of the world record. That's so awesome. It's kind of cool.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Now, can people? Did you sell those while you were there? Can people still own a guitar that was played as part of the Guinness Book World Records?
So we had an option. They could buy it or they could return it. So we had a few folks buy them.
That's cool.
And then I still have some. So sweet. So we're going to be recycling those. That's as well. Cool.
John always has Cigar Box guitars for sale. Yeah. So, he can't stop making them.
So yeah.
Right. So that's cool. So I saw, yeah, I noticed your Kickstarter, you exceeded your goal. So it was your daughter helped you put it over the top, huh? That's cool.
Yeah, so they featured it. Her boss, who's in charge of the music department
right.
at Kickstarter, had featured it and really pushed it.
That's cool.
You know, I couldn't have done it without them. Right. So it was just, it's just kind of cool to see it come to fruition.
Yeah. So is it a tough process to get Guinness to come out and look at your event and that kind of stuff?
I wasn't involved with the, you know, Jim from York Euporium.
Mm-hmm.
He pretty much took care of all that, did the application, got approved and all that. I will say, you know, and Tim can back me up, that, you know, they were very, very meticulous as yeah. far as, because they broke us up into groups, and each group had a spotter,
right?
And everybody had to come, and they had to physically see you with the guitar and sign in.
Wow.
And you know, so they were, it was, you know, it wasn't just like, you know.
But the good news, I think I saw an email where we were approved by Guinness and it'll be in the next edition.
That's awesome.
That's great.
Yeah,
yeah.
The largest Cigar Box guitar ensemble.
That's
I became
cool.
a guitar player for a little while.
That's awesome. That's cool. 263 people playing Bad to the Bone, right? That's
yeah,
sweet.
Yeah.
Cool. You guys want to play another song for
sure.
us?
Sure.
Love to.
Would you like to hear the Washboard one?
Sure.
Let's switch this out.
This is another song that John wrote.
Oh, I
did. And in fact, we're playing Thursday night. We're opening up at the Brighton yes. Bar in Long Branch for
Thomas Gabriel.
Yes, sir. Johnny Cash's grandson.
That's cool.
I understand he's got a great show. He does a lot of his grandfather stuff and adds his own songs that he's picked up while on the road with his grandfather.
That's really cool. Yeah, September 26th, you guys are at, check out Cigar Box Stompers at Brighton Bar. Also, October 19th, you're playing Don Jameson's costume contest at the Brighton.
That's right.
Good old Don.
So get out and check out Cigar Box Stompers at those gigs. That's pretty cool. I didn't even know Thomas, Johnny's grandson, was playing music. Is he from this area, do you know?
I'm not sure.
Well, didn't Johnny live in Asbury there for quite a while?
I know, I believe they founded the Berkeley Carteret Hotel. So they were probably, yeah, would make sense.
Could be.
Had some connection. Yep. At least knew about it.
Yeah. I know James Brown lived there for a while.
Did he?
Yeah, he waved to me one night, 3 o'clock in the morning, coming home from a gig with We're Not Brothers. And he goes by me 90 miles an hour. My guitar player was like, James Brown just passed us. I was like, no way.
So you're in the We're Not Brothers band? Is that Mr. Mason?
Yeah, Charlie. Yeah, I used to be a regular guest with those guys.
That's cool.
Oh, yeah. Charlie and Truck.
Charlie for quite a while.
You can catch him every other Friday down at the Used-to-Bees.
That's cool. Very cool. All right, so this is one of your songs?
Yes.
What's the what is the washboard guitar? Like, what's the difference between that and a cigar? Like, anything in terms of sound?
I think, you know, with the electric pickup, it's, you know, a slight different. You're not getting, because it's not a box, you're losing a little bit resonating kind of tone sound. However, you do pick up, you know, an extra. You could do a little bit of rhythm on it.
Right.
So, but like I said, with, you know, with the electric pickup and, you know, with amps being able to, you know, put different effects on it.
Right.
What you lose from not being a box, you can kind of gain, you know, through the amp and stuff. So, but then you also have the extra rhythm
That's
section.
Cool. Nice.
Same old stuff?
Same old stuff.
That's cool. That still has a nice sound too. I like that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a cool one.
I mean, like I said, with, you know, pickups and the amp, you can make a sound, you know, you can add the sound to it, but
nice. That one looks like it's got a, I don't know if you call it a scientific fretboard or not. You got some like markings, just kind of give you a general idea of what's going on. It's, I guess, more of a feel thing, right?
Yeah, it was just like, you know, whatever's, it was like the bare necessity, just to give you an idea of
where you are.
Yeah. Right. And the rest you kind of got to do by ear.
Right.
You know, but, you know, the markers give you, you know, a general landing spot.
That's really cool.
For the note. But then you got to kind of... kind of use your ear to kind of...
So it's a lot of trial and error. Just like making
make adjustments.
Them,
yep.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yep, for sure.
Awesome. All right, John Burnick, Tim Nolan, I appreciate both you guys coming in.
Thanks so
much. It was awesome to meet you. If you want to order a guitar, if you want to find out more about the band, go to
Lazy
Bee.
If you want tickets for Thursday night at the
Brighton.
Brighton
sure.
Bar.
Let us know. Yep, we have discounted tickets.
All right, sweet. So check out LazyBeeCigarGuitars.com. This Thursday with Thomas Gabriel, Johnny Cash's grandson at Brighton Bar in Long Branch. Reach out to the guys, get tickets for that. Also, October 19th, back at Brighton again for costume party.
Yep.
Sweet. You guys going to dress as cigar boxes for that? Or? What are you going to do?
I think we're going to all dress like our drummer.
Really?
Yes.
I'm going to have to dye my hair black.
What's his look?
I'm going to have to grow hair.
That's sweet. Does he play like oil cans or something? What's it? He's got a real drum set?
No, we're working on that. He's got a real drum set.
That's
so
cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yep.
All right. CBStompers.com also for directed on the band. Appreciate you guys coming in. And go to YouTube. Check out the Guinness Book of World Record breaking performance. 263 people playing Bad to the Bone on cigar box guitars. Congratulations on that. That's really cool. Appreciate you guys coming in. I'm Evan Balmer. Follow me on Instagram at Evan Balmer and look for the Mullet Cast on Facebook. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.